Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. So thankful to the Lord for everyone that have come out. From far away. Here in Zambia and Zimbabwe.
Zambia na Zimbabwe.
And I pray that we can say something. Remember, I am just your brother. There's nothing special with me. I am just a piece of clay. But one day I asked the Lord, can you speak to me? And I pray that you can say the same. Just say in your heart, Lord, can you speak to me? And if he hears your heart, that you're honest, he will surely speak to you. He can bring his message through. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the work he's doing here. And I'm honored and privileged to be with you. You may all be seated if you want to. When we go out in the rural areas, in the villages, then they don't have chairs for everyone. And they're sitting on the floor. Yeah. So, to sit on the floor is good when you don't have a chair. Yeah. So don't worry. Just make sure that you can hear the word and be able to keep it in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
So, yesterday, we had a thought, and we call it, He sent them saviors. And I want to continue that thought. So it may be a part two. When I am home in my hometown, Verdal, I sometimes take a pretty good time to try to explain what I see. So home in Verdal, it could be part 5 and 6 and 7. Right. But I will try to condense it because we only have this day. And then we're traveling on. And if you have a chance, the Lord gives you the blessing, you can come to Norway and see us. Hey, Norway is just over the hump. Like, just Africa, then Europe, and then way up in Norway. About 9,000? 10,000 kilometers? Whatever.
Yeah.
If you walk, it might take months and months. If you fly, it just takes a few hours. Alright. You remember what we said last night? Some of you were probably not here, because it's fuller today than yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you a very short resume. Because I really feel that this is important.
Yeah.
Well, it's important to me. Right? So when I read and I value things, that is my Lord. This is an important thought. Because it gives me understanding. Remember, Paul in the New Testament, he was talking about wisdom and knowledge. And when we talk about the wise and the prudent, those are the people that are mostly wise in their own eyes. Right? Yeah. You can have a lot of knowledge. Some of the smartest men, they call them. They have so much stuff up in their head that they cannot see God. Yeah. And that's too much knowledge. And it's the wrong kind. Because it does not really produce anything. Remember, you are the people that are going to live the longest. Yeah, and I'm not talking about your natural life. You're going to live eternally. It's never gonna stop. Of course you die. But that's just a separation. Body from the spirit and soul. Your body decays. But your spirit and your soul, which are actually one, it's not two different things. You cannot separate it. You, the spirit belongs to your soul. But the spirit is a gift. Because the spirit is God. And he gives you life. So that you can function.
Yeah.
And even if you behave like a devil, the spirit will still be there because you have an appointed time. The Lord wants to let you make yourself to understand the value of your life. Yeah. But if it doesn't go God's way, then one day he'll say, that's enough. You have proven what you want. No, I'll take you. Well, then, when you die, you are put in custody. Custody is not necessarily a bad place. Because you have Lazarus and the rich man. They were both in custody. But one was in the wrong dimension. And he said, I suffer pain. And he looked over and he saw Lazarus. Well, how much do the evil people see of the good things? I think it's more like an illustration to wake us up, to make us understand there is a bad custody. And you know that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, where did he go? His body was taken in a cave. But his spirit didn't go in the cave. It was just a dead body. Jesus started a journey. His spirit and soul went to the lower parts of the earth. And the Bible says he spoke to them that were disobedient in the days of Noah. Hey, he went a couple of thousand years back in time to inform them why they were in that custody. And remember, no, everyone that drowned in the flood was not necessarily all evil people. Right? I believe there was a bunch of children there. They had never made a choice. Yeah. But the ones who survived were the ones that the Lord wanted to build the next generation on. Right? Remember, you and I, we're gonna die. Right? And they're gonna be a next generation. Because there's still 1,000 years up ahead. We call it the millennium. People's gonna be born. It's gonna fill the earth. The Lord said to Adam, replenish the earth. He said to Noah, replenish the earth. And in the millennium, they that are given the rights to live naturally in the millennium, they're going to replenish the earth. So there is a process. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of the fulfillment of the Word of God. And Jesus went back and he warned the people. And remember, they are still in custody. Because judgment has not yet come upon the soul of men. When is that judgment coming? Well, I read a portion in Revelation chapter 20. In verse 6. And there it says, blessed and holy are they who have part in the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. Over them, the second death has no power. So when is the first resurrection coming? Hey, it's still ahead of us. Right? It's the start before the millennium starts. That is a judgment day. Remember Martha and Mary? They saw their own brother Lazarus die. And they came to Jesus because he came 4 days after he had passed away. And they said to him, have you been here before? Lazarus would not have been dead because they believed Jesus had the power to raise the dead. And he had. And then Jesus said, Lazarus shall resurrect. Lazarus shall resurrect. Yeah, Martha said. At the last day. But Jesus said, no. Because Jesus was the life. He said he will rise now. But that last day that Martha was talking about, that day was the day when the millennium started. Right? So if you put a gap between your day and the millennium day, whatever time there is there, there is a judgment. And you and I am going to be in that judgment. Whether we are alive or deceased. Because we are going to be judged according to our works. What did we do with the truth that we know? Did we exemplify Christ? Or did we just live a selfish life? So every person that are going to come up in the first resurrection will come up and be judged. And you will be given a job according to your faithfulness. Right? Gold, silver, precious stones. That is your honesty in representing the heavenly dimension, and God will reward it. But if it is hay, stubble, and wood, the work will burn up. And you said, that's terrible. Yeah, but remember, it is you that are terrible if you work with the wrong motive. And it's not you that's going to burn up. It's your work. It's what you tried to prove to people when you said, God spoke to me. Right? And he didn't speak. You are just imagining and trying to convince people that God is really using you. And that's terrible. So make sure that you don't act like a God when he doesn't speak. Close your mouth and wait patiently on the Lord. And he will reward you for the things that he inspired you to do. Right?
Amen.
So we have a title. He sent them servants. Well, I want to change that word servant to saviors. Right? Hey, I need to correct this. Hey, they are servants, yes. So it's not wrong in that respect. But when I say saviors, that is a little more challenging word. Because we have this tendency, there's only one savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. Jesus Christ is the only one that actually can save you. Because he was born outside the law of sin. Virgin Mary became a surrogate mother. That might not sound nice. But she was. Because it was not her egg. And it was not Joseph's sperm. Right? It was God who created the egg and the sperm, fertilized, and brought it into Mary's womb. So therefore, Jesus didn't have Mary's or Joseph's blood. Hey, that was God's unique way of doing things. Hey, he could have made Jesus out of the dust. But God is a spirit of continuation.
Amen.
He'd already done that. The first Adam was created out of the dust. Was made a living soul. And God put his spirit in him. So, and you and I, we are a product of Adam. Right. Hey. That's the way God did it. But when Jesus came, it was a different thing. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a boy child. And Israel was waiting on that for hundreds of years. But when it came, hardly anyone understood what was going on. Hardly anyone understood what was going on. Very few people knew. Mary knew.
Mary.
And Joseph.
Na Joseph.
The Lord gave him a dream so that he could understand this was not an act of man, but an act of God. Then you have Anna in the temple and Simon. And then you have the wise men from east. Hey, just a handful. And a few shepherds. Yeah. So God did his greatest job, and he did it in secret. Oh, that is something. Because spiritual things, you need to be nothing in yourself to be able to catch spiritual things.
Amen.
Hey, you might be smart and educated, but then when you see the fulfillment of the word of God, you end up with a problem because you don't understand it. This doesn't make sense. Right? And that's God's fortune. When he speaks, it really doesn't make sense. Because it goes beyond our natural way of thinking. Right? So last night, we took a scripture from St. John chapter 10, where the disciples and also the scribes and the Pharisees, they were together with Jesus, and the Pharisees started asking, "You take too much on yourself. It sounds like you are making yourself a God. But there's only one God. How can you do things like this? Because Jesus, he did not tell the people the conversation that he had with his father. Right? Hey, you are praying. You don't tell everyone what you pray about. And if the Lord speaks to you, maybe you don't tell them, people around you. Right? Because God speaking to you is pretty direct. And you might say, if I say that God spoke to me, they'll think I'm crazy. Right? Because now you're telling you're hearing things. Prove it. Remember Jesus? In Luke chapter 4, he was standing there in Nazareth, and he wrote the book of Isaiah, that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they said, my, that man's crazy. He thinks he's fulfilling prophecy. Right? But that's what he did. Yeah. And then, he just told them, do you remember Sarepta? Hey, there were a lot of people that was with leprosy and were poor, but God only came to a foreigner, the widow in Sarepta. Right? Because they said, what you did in Capernaum, you do it here. Prove yourself. Hey, that is the biggest problem for believers. When God speaks to you, and if you dare to tell he spoke, then they'll say, prove it. How can you prove it? God spoke.
Amen.
And you cannot bend the neck of God.
Amen.
Because he doesn't have a neck.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's right.
You can't bend him.
Bendeke.
He speaks when he wants. And he keeps still when he wants. So therefore there's no way you can prove it. Only when God tells you, then you can do things. And that is what Jesus did. He had a unique ministry, and they accused Jesus of being God. Because that's blasphemous.
Yeah.
But Jesus said something very special. And that's John chapter 10 verse
34.
Because Jesus said, is it not written in your law? I say you are gods. And the word gods is plural. Remember, God says, there is no God except me.
Yeah.
There's only one God. And all other gods, they're false. But when Jesus is explaining himself, he's using a different terminology. Because he wants the people to understand that there is a dimension that we don't really, we're not part of that dimension. Right? There is an angelic world. If the Lord opened up our eyes so we could see that dimension, you would see angels. Right?
Amen, that's right.
You would see them right here. Hey, they're here to protect you. You'll see demons too that want to attack you. But God wants to spare you from seeing too much of this dimension. Only occasionally God will open up that dimension so he can address his will to you. So therefore some people, they see a dimension. You see Isaiah chapter 6. Where was Isaiah? He was just in the plains somewhere. And then the Lord opened up a dimension. And he saw himself in a big hall. He saw the throne of God. And it humbled him. And he said, my Lord, I'm seeing things. And for a short time, the Lord gave him a lesson. And then he said a word. Who will go for us? Right?
Amen.
And Isaiah looked around.
Isaiah
said, it was only him. And he said, Lord, I'm willing. I'll go.
Amen.
And then the vision disappeared. He was probably in the same place. But now he was in a natural dimension. But he had a message. And he started prophesying. And they said, what's that man doing? He talks like he's seen God. Yeah. And he had.
Yeah.
He saw a dimension. It changed his life.
Hey.
That is what I want.
Hey.
Everyone in this room, I want you to see that dimension. Because that will change your life. Well, you might still do things wrong. But once you have been in there, you'll be very careful. You'll be humble. You'll respect God.
Yeah.
And people might think you are strange. They might say, he thinks he is something. I'm sorry. I'm a Norwegian, you know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that dimension, Jesus is talking about it.
Yes, I come back.
And he speaks here.
I come back.
He says, it's written in the law. You are gods. Plural. And that's why I wanted this changed. To saviors. Because when you read the Old Testament, you read how God came down and started revealing his presence to some brothers. Yeah, even women. Hey, I have said sometimes, if God cannot find a man that are willing to go God's way, then he'll pick up a woman. Right?
That's right.
In the Bible, you find one prophetess, Deborah. Right? And she,
Eve,
she had the word of the Lord to the children of Israel. And they came up to her to receive advice. So I say, sisters, don't think you're nothing. Keep praying and seeking God. God will use you. Right? You can be another Deborah. That little child that was prayed for now, was her name Hadassah? Yeah?
Hey,
that's Esther.
Right?
Yeah. Her name was Hadassah. But in Persia, they called her Esther. And she became a queen. And she was a Jew. Nobody knew it. Right? So there might be someone that don't know you. And you carry a secret. You walk with the Lord. Oh, I pray.
Amen.
I'll pray everyone will walk with the Lord. So Jesus is using this word. And he said, you are gods. And then in verse
35,
that is why Jesus is wording himself. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, so when the word of God comes, and it comes to a person, that means God wants to use that person, and that person comes in God's place. You understand what I mean with that?
Yeah.
God choose to anoint a person. Hey, that's why we have the 9 gifts of the Spirit. They are in you, every one of you. Right? That is God's potential product or object. Because you are his child. And he can pop down and come to you and start inspiring you. And then you come in God's place. So when you hear a real prophecy, or the discerning of a heart that is done in the proper way, it is not the person talking anymore. Oh yes, it is his voice box. But it is God speaking through him.
Amen.
And that is what verse 35 stands for. If you understand it correctly, the word of God comes to you, and you become a miniature God. That doesn't make 2 gods. Right? There's only 1 God. But now you speak in the name of God. Hey, when you hear a prophecy or an interpretation, you don't hear them say, this says the brother. He said, this said the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Oh, that's pretty strong. Thus says the Lord. Who do you think you are? Right? But it's just as gifts of the Spirit. He's telling you, God's speaking to me, and I bring it to you. Not because I'm God, I'm just his representation. And Jesus, when he answered the Jews, and he said, I am God's representation. Right? Jesus was not God. Through the whole New Testament, yes, he said, the Father and I am one. Right? Oh, he said that. But he never said he was God. But he said, exactly what God tells me to say, I say the same. I speak as God inspires me.
Yeah.
Hey, that is the confusion in the world.
That's right.
We have an idea called oneness. They make Jesus Christ the Father. And then you have the two-ness. Hey, that's what the Mormon people. I had Mormons coming knocking on my door. And they showed me an album. And they showed me a picture of the Father. An old man with a long beard. And then they showed me the son. A little younger man, still with a long beard. And I was looking for the third one. They said, well, we don't have a picture of the third one. That was supposed to be the Holy Spirit. Yeah, no, we don't have a picture there. We only believe in two. Hey, that's smart minds. Remember, there are millions of them who believe that God is two. Mormonism is a great representation of that. Then we have an even bigger assembly. Trinity. Three gods. Three gods in one. And when you ask them to explain it, well, we cannot explain it. You just have to believe it. Yeah. But remember, God, who started out, and he wanted to show himself. And he wanted to show himself in different dispensations. Therefore, in the beginning, he showed himself as Lord. Jehovah. Remember God? El Elyon, Elohim. He don't speak to people. Right? He's the sovereign spirit. Creator of everything. But he produced channels. Right? Hey, you have radio. You have a radio. You turn in on 88. And you have radio Zambia. Right? And then you can turn on 70. FM, you know, FM radios. And you have a radio Zimbabwe. And if you go down to 30, you'll have radio Norway. Hey, one radio. Different channels. Right? You just tune in and you get what you like to hear. Am I too difficult? I want to put it into a simple way. So God decided before the foundation of the world that I am going to reveal myself in three different levels. I will reveal myself as Father. That's Jehovah. Or the Lord. In Zambia, what do you say to Lord?
Ambuye.
Amen. Okay. Right? So any country has a word for Father. And every country also have a word for Son. Right? Yeah. So, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God's three channels. That's gonna operate in different time zones. So the Lord showed himself through the Old Testament as Jehovah, the Father. Then came the peak point, Jesus Christ became the Son of God. And God started revealing himself in and through Jesus Christ. Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hey,
same God. No, a different channel. Right? The Jehovah, in that respect, wasn't God. But it was God's expression. And when Jesus came, Jesus was not God, but it was God's expression. I do everything the Father shows me. That's very hard to understand. That's why they make two and three gods. Yeah. And then, finally, Jesus himself, he says, and not long from now, I will send you the Comforter. And he called it the Holy Spirit. Hey, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it's still God's Spirit. But Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is three channels that God chooses to operate through. Right? And he said, not many days hereafter, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, and I hope that you will mark that down in your mind. The Holy Spirit does not speak of his own self. I think it's John chapter 16.
Right?
And he said, he will take of mine and give it to you.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Huh?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit doesn't talk on his own behalf. Right?
Amen.
Because the three letters, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they don't speak of their own self. They speak as God anoints through them.
Amen.
And that is what Jesus said. I can of myself do nothing. So Jesus, he appeared as an empty vessel, ready to be filled by God's Spirit. And for 30 years, he was waiting on the anointing. So he didn't start as, I can do a little before. Right? He never said that. Because he knew he couldn't. When you see Brother Branham, hey, he was one wonderful servant of Christ. And he never allowed himself to start a private war against the devil. Because I've done this so many times now. I know how God operates. So no, God, leave it to me. He never did that. He always waited on the Spirit.
Yeah.
So on the day of Pentecost,
then
God came down in the form of the Holy Spirit and started inspiring. Because he says, if he called them gods, and to whom the word of God came. Right?
Amen.
So the word of God comes to you, and you become God's mouthpiece.
Amen.
We let it sink in a little. You, am I that important? You might say. Hey, God created you. Special for your day. For your family. For your workplace. Wherever you are, you are God's center point.
Praise the Lord.
That he can come to you and inspire you. And he can say, I'm here with you.
No,
you go.
And,
I'll be with you. He said that to Moses. He showed him the burning bush. Gave him the mission about Egypt. And then he said, now, you go. And Moses said, oh, okay. Finally. He was scared. But he said, I'll be with you. And I will do everything to make Pharaoh understand that I am God. Right? And he even said to Moses, I'll make you to be God. You'll be God over your own brother. You're gonna be God over Pharaoh. My Lord.
Amen.
Hey, it's written in the scriptures. We read that yesterday. Exodus chapter
4.
Exodus chapter
7.
God said, I'll make you a god over Pharaoh. Over
Aaron.
Yeah. So you say, well, that's a shameful thing to be called God. Well, God didn't make him God Almighty. He just made him a tool so that he could represent the Almighty. Hey, have you heard the name ambassador? Do you have an ambassador in Zambia? Maybe an ambassador goes to Zimbabwe. Or he goes to another country. When he comes as an ambassador, what is he then? He is a spokesman for your nation. He stands for your nation. And he got a bill or he got a letter. He had an authorization. I am speaking on the behalf of the nation of Zambia. That's an ambassador. Or he is a miniature god. For Zambia. Right?
Amen.
Representation.
People have difficulty.
Because everything, when it comes close to God, they get some, ooh, get nervous. Jesus was not nervous. And he said, you are accusing me of being a God? Don't you remember that the whole Bible, the whole Old Testament, everything from the beginning and up till my day, God have sent you gods, saviors. That's a different word. He sent them saviors. Right?
Amen.
Should we change this to say, he sent them gods? That's going to be a little tough, right? I think we'll stick with saviors. I know that this might sound a little challenging. But I want you to know how important you are. Because I'm talking to you. Right?
Amen.
We have brothers here. They give up their jobs. They move out in the rural areas. They're starting churches. And they stay with it. They stay with it. Right? Hey, it is not how many churches you plant, but it is your continuation.
Hey,
you can plant a church and leave it. That's not really good. If you plant something, hey, if you plant something in your garden, you water it every day. You make sure it grows. And you can harvest it. But you have to stay at it. Yeah, so when you go out, do mission work, I must say, I saw a preacher one time, and he had a world map. And he said, I can go anywhere in the world. And he took a little dart. And he threw it at the map. He said, where my needle hit, that's my calling. You know where it hit? In the midst of the Atlantic Ocean. So, like the Lord say, go take a dip. Right? Now, you cannot point according to your own will. God puts a desire. And you start having feelings, not natural, but spiritual feelings for people that they can gain victory in their own area and turn to the Lord. My Lord. So you see, hey, you're doing that here in your own country. It's very important. But don't push yourself. Make sure the Lord is the leader. Because then you will always have a desire to fulfill God's plan. Hey, when you make your own plans, then your mind shifts. And you don't like that area anymore. So I say, I need some new place.
Yeah.
And we end up with nothing. All right. In Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 82. Here, it's a admonition, or the Lord is speaking. Of course, it is a a spiritual man that receives inspiration to write down. And he says, judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and the needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. This is a story or a calling where God is speaking to a messenger, to a God. Because when Jesus, he said, the ones that receive the word from God, the scripture says they are gods. Like miniature gods. And this is the scripture that Jesus is referring to. Yeah.
Amen.
And here, verse 5. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. Well, who is it that doesn't understand? Hey, that's Phariseeism. That's the smart guys that think they know everything. But when they hear the word of God expressed in its true nature, what is this? Right? Because it's beyond my smartness. Right?
Amen.
And then he says here, yeah, all the foundations of the earth are shaken. And then the word comes. I say, you are gods. And all of you, sons of the Most High. And what did Jesus say? That it was the scripture says. And you cannot annul the scriptures. So you smart guys that think you know everything, and you accuse me of being God Almighty. Don't you know that whom the word of God goes out through, they are gods. So therefore, you cannot attack me on your accusation. Of course they did it anyway. But Jesus, he had made it clear that he was scriptural. And there was nothing they could do about it. Oh, that man. He hit the spot all the time. They should have said, Lord, you're right.
You're
wrong. But in their hearts, they were wrong. Therefore, they could not accept truth. That's why you read in the New Testament that when they lost the battle over Jesus Christ, they got their heads together and said, is there anyone that are smarter here? So we can catch that guy and get rid of him. We need a lawful way to get him out of the picture.
Hey,
that's right. That was the way they were thinking all the time. They never had a desire to walk in truth.
Right? Amen.
Our Lord.
Amen.
All right. Well, we know that Moses and then Joshua, for probably about 170 years,
maybe 170,
had no led Israel.
Israel.
Joshua died 110 years old. And he was a mighty testimony in his own day.
Yeah.
And here,
I'll
read in Judges, chapter
2.
Because when Joshua died, and all the people that have been with Joshua, hey, think about it. Lusaka. You have a beautiful place. You have brothers and sisters here who have built up a little place of worship. Hey, I am 77 years old. I don't live forever. I know I'm going to live forever. But not in this shape.
But not in utupi.
Right?
Amen.
So my day is coming. But remember, your day is also coming.
That's right.
One day, Brother Piri, Brother John, Brother Zima, they will be so old that they can't even raise up. Right? I hope there are someone here that have caught the vision and that can carry the work. Well, Brother Stroman, you sound like we're going to be here for a long time. Now, this is just an illustration. I hope the Lord comes in my lifetime. Right?
Amen.
So I am 77.
So
I have to say, Lord, come quickly. Right?
Amen.
Hey, you know we have a king in Norway? What happened on Friday morning? He died. So now his son is becoming king in his place. I had a brother. He was 10 days older than me. Same age. So he turned 77 in
April.
But one day I was traveling in the United States. Last year, in the month of November, I was sitting in my car driving. And I heard a voice. And that means your friend, Eric, he's going to pass away. And that voice was just as loud as I heard him the first time I ever heard the voice of the Lord. Of course, everybody has sickness. I have had diabetes for almost 30 years. So they thought I was going to die about 30 years ago. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. Right? Hey, as long as I have a purpose, not my purpose, but his,
amen,
then he'll keep me going.
Yeah.
But now, after we came to Africa, we were in Zimbabwe, And my son Ariel called. And he said, Eric has passed away. He passed away. He died. Yeah, so now they already have the funeral. Yeah. Hey, the Lord speak. I said, why did he tell me? I really don't know why. But I know we are the same age. Right? A man's age? 70 or at the most 80? And you can expect something to happen. Oh yeah. Hey, I'm not telling you I'm going to die here now. I hope you understand that.
Yeah.
In 2017, we're at the Gandhi school. And I was standing there preaching. And then suddenly, I faded and fainted. Fell on the floor. And when I came to myself, I saw you guys over me like, Ma. And I said, what's going on? Oh, you fainted. I said, did I? Well, let's start over again.
Amen, amen.
So, I just started over again. Right?
Amen.
And I fell again. And then the brothers said, hey, we got your message. We got it. You understand? So I could walk and sit down. Well, I didn't know I was fainting. But later on it showed that I had drank water that was not purified. So food poisoning. But after 3 days, I was up and going. Yeah. Hey, we don't last forever. But by the grace of God, we pray to fulfill our course.
Amen.
All right. So, Joshua died. Of course, Moses before that. And then the Bible said, when all the generations that grew up with Moses and Joshua, when they passed away, there grew up another generation. There arose another generation after them. It is Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Right? And it says here, there rose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah.
So, book Yoel was a moot two pandime at 10, equity. Kuna kwera some badowina.
Yeah. Nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. That's a very tough statement. You know, it is important that people have experience with the Lord. And I hope that you are seeking God and always desiring Him to reveal Himself to you. Because if you only trust that the generation above you, they are the ones who have seen things. And you don't care. Your own generation pass is growing up. And you are the one that will have to take the rod, the staff, and follow when the other people pass on. Remember Brother Branham? Nobody thought he would ever die at that age. 56 years old.
56.
And when he finally got buried, there were brothers standing around the gravesite. And Brother Jackson was one of them. But many others too. Gordon Lindsay. Some of the big shots in the Evangelistic Association. When you hear them later in time, and some reporters are asking, how did it start for you? And then they started saying, we were trying our best, and we didn't succeed much. I think T.L. Osborne went to India. Came home kind of heartbroken because he didn't get any results. But he said, but then I came into William Branham's meeting and I saw things I'd never seen in my life. It changed everything. It started with William Branham. But they were also the same people that didn't want to believe what he preached. So, hey, they loved the miracles, but not the teaching. But they had to admit that man had a sign that outnumbered anyone else. Right? And here, Moses,
Joshua,
a sign that outnumbered everything else. But where is that new generation? It grows up and they don't know how to carry things on.
That's right.
You know, they could not only adopt what they have seen. They needed to have an experience. And the Lord knew that. That is why Jesus said, you are gods. John chapter 10. Right? That I've already mentioned. Because God knows, without revelation, the people start to stretch the word so it pleases their lifestyle. Right?
That's right.
That's very easy. We can justify our doings. Right? And stretch the word so we can live comfortable. But instead, we should seek God with all our heart so that God can come on the scene and start revealing His presence so that we can become saviors.
Amen.
It was servants first. Saviors. Hey, remember, you will never become Jesus Christ. You cannot save the soul. It's not your blood. Because we are sinners saved by grace. But God will still come with His gift and reveal His presence on different spots of the earth so that the people will see God in action through a person.
Amen.
So you can say in your heart, God is still on the scene. I love it. And if someone have a gift, of course, they're not supposed to be puffed up and look like they're very important people. Because if they do that, God will put them down. Right? There's two guys in the Bible. I hope that you'll pay attention to them. One is Samson. And he started playing with a girl. But he was heavy anointed. There was a strength by him. He could kill 1,000 people alone if they came up against him. But when Delilah was done with him, he couldn't kill a mouse. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true. Amen. That's true.
So he was just grinding the mill. They took the axes away and they put him in so that they can laugh and make fun. But Samson knew what he had done. And he said, Lord, can you restore me back?
Amen.
Just once, Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord answered his prayer. And one day they had a big feast. The Philistines. And Samson said, lead me towards the pillars. But everyone thought that his power was gone. But the Lord renewed his strength. And he took the pillars. And he killed more people during that time than he had done all his life earlier. God restored him. But there is another man. He's King Saul. Started very humble, living close to God. But after a while, he did not pay much attention to what God said. And the Lord said to Samuel, that man is good for nothing. I'm going to take that anointing away. And suddenly one day, Saul did not have the anointing on him anymore. He lost it. Remember, the Bible says, gifts and callings are without repentance. That means what God gives, it stays there. And you might wonder, but how come that Saul lost it? Well, remember now, and that's the secret, inspiration.
Amen. Amen.
You get what I'm saying? Gifts and callings. Yeah, you can say, oh yeah, I have this gift, I have that gift. But lack of inspiration, there's nothing you can do with it. Because you cannot do it in your own power. Right?
Amen.
So Saul went down hills until he one day was fighting his last battle and he could see how it went. And he took to his weapon bearer and he said, take the sword. Kill me. But the weapon bearer hesitated. So then Saul took the sword. Killed himself. He never recovered. And you might wonder, where did Saul go? Killing himself. Hey, have you ever thought of that? Hey, a couple of nights before that happened, he wanted to know the will of God. But nobody spoke to him. No prophet. No vision. No dream. So he got so confused. So he went to a woman that could call forth the dead and said, can you seek out someone from me? And the woman said, who? Say, call out Samuel. And Samuel came. How can you explain that? Right? But it's in the Bible. Remember, God said, don't you ever seek for the dead. Right? That's what the Bible says. Don't ever do it. But Saul did it. And then when he saw Samuel, Samuel said to him, why are you calling me here? And he said, nobody answers me. I want to know what's going to happen to me. And you know what Samuel said? Tomorrow, you will be here with me. Ah, check your Bible. Ah, here with me. I don't think that Samuel was in the bad department. Right? When Jesus went down and spoke to the ones that were disobedient in the days of the flood. Right? I don't think that Saul was among the fallen people. But he was dressing himself so poorly that he lost the fame, the reputation. Right? Remember, if we work with hay, wood, and stubble, the payday is coming. Make sure you work with gold, silver, and precious stones. Right? Remember, we can sit here or stand here and condemn people. I read in the Bible, even I read, oh, he goes to hell.
Oh,
he goes to hell. So you have already judged them. And you don't know their lives. Right? So don't judge. Just make sure you're doing the right thing. So that you don't end up in the same predicament. And make wrong choices. Gonna be very important. Alright. So here was a people that did not know the Lord. And I want to go to Judges chapter 2, verse 16. And now, I will not tell you all the stories, because that will take too long time. But I'm beginning here, and you can see for yourself. You see, for us to be able to finalize the Gentile dispensation, we need something. We need God on the scene.
Amen.
Remember, we have the breaking of the seventh seal. That's not broken yet. That seal waits to be fulfilled. That is Revelation chapter
8.
From verse 1 through 6. What's happening there is the next thing that's going to happen to the body of Christ in your day, in our time. Right? And who's going to break that seal? Right? It is the Lord who breaks it. Yeah. And it's the Lord that's going to reveal that it is broken. There are so many people that have tried to break the seventh seal. And they're telling you what it is. But when you read or hear what they say, it's lack of consistency. But I can tell you it's going to happen. And then there's not going to be any doubt.
That's right.
My Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And Revelation chapter 10, the mighty angel coming down, and he have a book that John was supposed to come and take and eat. And when he had cried, seven thunder voices uttered their voices. It's not happened yet. A lot of people have tried to tell what the seven thunder voices are and what they say. They don't know, because it is not revealed yet. But it is going to be revealed. Hey, this is why I take a message like this. Right?
Amen.
Just to let you know,
so that
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ
is not the only person
si
that's going to have a salvationary message to help the people. Because here, Judges chapter 2 verse 16, and Jehovah raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of those that despoiled them.
What did they do? They saved them.
Amen.
How do you save a person? Well, if you end up in the river and the stream takes you and you are lost, and unless someone comes and rescue you, then you're as good as dead. But if someone comes and saves you, that means you're still alive. So you can say, that brother, he saved me. Right?
Amen.
Anyone here being saved naturally?
Yeah.
Well, you know the best yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one saved you spiritually. Jesus the Christ. But even that came through a minister that was sent by God to bring the word to you. So someone came on your behalf, gave you the word from the Lord, and saved you from yourself. All right.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord.
So this little scripture, Jehovah raised up judges. And you can say, Jehovah raised up saviors or gods. Hey, remember, it was Jesus who said gods. Because the ones that the word of God came to and went through, they became gods in that respect. Hey, I don't want to emphasize too much, but I want you to see that when the Pharisees attacked Jesus, then Jesus gave them a polite scripture so that they could have said, oh, no, I see. Right?
Mm.
But they were so stuck up in their mind. They said, we don't want to believe this. Even if you say something is true, I won't accept it. So that's the way the denominational spirit is working. They don't want to hear it.
Amen, that's right.
All right. So, he rose up judges. And when Jehovah was with the judges, the people got healed. And they stayed with the judge.
Amen.
So if the judge lived for 40 years, then the people stayed true to the judge for these 40 years. But when the judge died, they sunk into despair again. And oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
Let's worship Baal.
No, don't you Baal.
Right? It's an easier way. Asteroid. This applies to our sensuality. Right? It's easier. And they fell off again. And God knew it. Even before the foundation of the world, he said something like this. When Moses and Joshua is gone, I want to put in some saviors. At appointed times, through history, I will put in men that I'm going to reveal myself through so that Israel would not be there without leadership. You remember the time when Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Horeb? My Bible speaks
says that when God spoke the Ten Commandments, He spoke it so everybody heard it. Everybody heard it. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Thou shalt not. And thou shalt. And the people. And they came to Moses. And
said,
God can never speak to us. Because if he dies, we're going to die. This is so scary. And God said to Moses, they're talking sense. We'll do it like this. I'll speak to you. And you speak to them. Because that's what they want. So after them, God didn't speak to the whole people anymore. He spoke to the chosen ones that could carry out the message. Hey, am I speaking right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You have read that yourself.
Amen.
Ah. So therefore God appoints certain vessels. And when you go through the book of Judges, you find one after the other that God raise up. And they become tools. Most of them are never popular. Yeah. Hey, Samson? The people didn't like Samson at all. Samson is causing trouble. He kills 1,000 people. But we got the whole nation against us. So his help is worsening the situation. So when Samson had problems, the people Israel said, no, don't come to us. You are on your own. Huh?
That's true.
So you see, an anointed person may not ever be believed. Hey. That happened to Jesus Christ. They crucified him. Get rid of the problem. The worst mistake they could have ever made. But they could not stand Jesus. Of course the disciples could. But they were just a handful of people.
Amen.
Oh. The rest of them didn't care. And now, brothers and sisters, remember, I have just released a little sentence of a chapter where God raised up judges. And now, you can go home and read the book of Judges and see how many judges Jehovah raised. Remember, after Joshua, you have the book of Judges. That's about 400 years. Right? Then it came the time of the kings. 400 years. Then from Malachi to Jesus Christ, 400 years. Hey, God is precise in his doings. And in the time of the judges and the kings, 800 years, God sent prophets, saviors,
all the time.
Amen.
Why did he do it? Because they needed it. And I can tell you, how are you going to finalize this church age without spiritual revelation? Hey, God has his vessels. He has it. He's going to inspire it. There will be seven thunder voices. Hey, back in the year
2000,
there came people to our church. We are here to announce
the names of the seven thunders.
I said, you are? And they mentioned names. Hey, I knew them. But you know today, they're dead. And they're going to fulfill the last part. So it couldn't be them. Some people are pretty smart. Hey, remember, you can be in fasting and prayer. That doesn't mean that you're a good person. It depends what purpose you have.
Amen.
If fasting and prayer humbles you, that's pretty good. You're on the right track. But if you're going to find out something, and I'm going to fast 40 days
so I can have my answer,
so
I can tell the church,
I've
been fasting 40 days. I know what I'm talking about. You don't know. Because your self-esteem kills the purpose.
Amen.
So let God reveal it in his time. Seven thunder voices will be there. The seventh seal will be broken. It's going to be perfect. And the spiritual body of Christ will see it in due time. Have I kept on too long now? Remember, brothers and sisters, I have a whole Bible here. I don't intend to keep you all day. Well, maybe I am. Because this is my last chance. All right. So therefore, I'm not just picking out an Old Testament scripture to live in the Old Testament, but to show you a pattern that God will come and he will anoint people in specific places. Remember, back in those days, it was just a tiny little nation. It was 50 kilometers east-west. And it was 350 kilometers south-north.
So when that south-north, 350 kilometers.
That's the nation of
Israel.
And they only needed one prophet to cover the land. But many times, there were more than one prophet in the land. And think about now. The world. The gospel has reached from east to west. And it is not 50 kilometers. It is 40,000 kilometers. Around the globe. So therefore, God is putting in souls scattered in different places of the earth. And he's going to let them pop up in the right season, and they will have a message, and they will be in unity. They will not fight against each other. What you hear one say, the other will say the same thing, because they are inspired by the same Spirit. Because God will keep sending saviors. Hey, not Jesus Christ over and over and over again. He done his job. He paid the ransom price. You believe in Jesus? Then you are saved. But God wants you to follow the Spirit and to continue to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible.
Praise the Lord.
And you and I cannot fulfill the prophecies by ourselves. It takes the Spirit of Christ, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that will come on the scene and show what is needed. And then all the scriptures are going to be fulfilled. You believe that? All right, shall we stand? Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. I can continue. But I'm so happy that I have a group here who are excited and want to see the Word of God in its fulfillment. And not just standing there looking at it from a distance, but be right in it. Be part of the fulfillment. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you will come and touch us. Help me, Lord, so I can speak in a way that you people can understand. Take away selfish words and let thy word stand firm like a beacon to shine before the faces of your people so they can see their part of the fulfillment of the wonderful plan that you have for our day. Touch us now, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I am in your midst. I'm speaking to each individual to let you see what is ahead of time. And if you stay softly before me and are able to wait on my inspiration, I will come on your behalf. Whether you are in the city or in the rural areas, because I will speak with clarity. I am announcing that I'm coming. But I don't say the day or the hour. But I want you to be prepared at all times. Be therefore of good comfort. Speak softly and gently to each other, so that you don't stop my flow of inspiration. If you can do that, you will see my hand at work, saith the Lord. Amen.
Everybody say,